This is Podtech News. It's Thursday, September 21st. In Los Angeles, I'm Matt Kelly. I'm joined today by Steve Toplitz. He's a writer and designer of a new computer program called Torpark, and is with Hacktivismo, an international group of hackers, human rights workers, lawyers, and artists who believe privacy and access to information are human rights. Today, the group announced the release of its new browser called Torpark, which will allow web users to surf the net anonymously. The browser has its own network of net routers to make user surfing traffic obscure, and it can be downloaded for free. Steve, thanks for being on the podcast. First of all, who is Hacktivismo?
Hacktivismo is a group of hackers working to promote human rights, freedom of expression, free speech. We want to get information out there, whatever it happens to be. It could be good, it could be bad. But we want to help people have the right to express it, especially in totalitarian governments.
Why would Hacktivismo be releasing an internet browser then?
Hacktivismo is releasing an internet browser because of a growing concern about the use of technology today for surveilling on one's own citizens. The information isn't just about who controls it. It's about, you know, who knows what's going on. Oftentimes, in totalitarian governments and repressive governments, you get journalists who are imprisoned. You get people who speak out. They just disappear off the streets. You'll find this happening in, you know, Sudan. You'll find it happening in a lot of the Islamic world. You'll find it happening in China all the time.
How does Torpark work?
The way Torpark works is you open up this browser, and it creates a triple-proxied encrypted connection between you and three other computers to reach the Internet. So you could surf to a website, and the website doesn't know who you are. And the information that passes between all these computers is encrypted, so they can't read it. So they wouldn't be able to say who you were or where you came from, and the website couldn't tell either, obviously. The people who might use this are the ones who need freedom of speech the most. They're the ones who are dissidents, who are repressed by their government. This gets to the point where we have to wonder what's going on with our technology and what's going on with our country. I'm not saying the U.S. is a bad country by any means. We have more freedom here than, you know, most people have in anywhere else in the world. But I think Earl Warren, a Supreme Court justice, put it best. He said, "Fantastic advances in the field of electronic communication constitute a greater danger to the privacy of the individual." So we created Torpark, and we're fighting back fire with fire.
What are the limitations of Torpark?
Torpark anonymizes your connection to the Internet. It doesn't anonymize the data you send. So you could be on a website, and you could say whatever you want, and they couldn't tell who you are unless you specifically gave up identifying information about yourself. And this should be considered very important. You should understand the risk. So if you log into an account anonymously that you've logged into before with your regular identity, then they can associate that anonymous connection with you. Or if you use your credentials like a password and login on a site, you should also be aware that the very end exit node on the Tor network, if it's not encrypted, can see the password and login that you type. So whatever login that you put out there should always be encrypted. So if you're going to log in, look for the small little golden padlock in the bottom bar of the screen so you know that your connection is encrypted. Torpark can be downloaded from the Torpark website currently at torpark.nfshost.com. Torpark was created so that it would be specifically portable. It started off with John T. Haller's portable Firefox program. Well, I took it apart and figured out how he had written it, and I gutted it and upgraded it to run Tor, so it passes all the data through the Tor network. The upshot is that you have the ability to take this browser and this Tor network connector anywhere you want. You can put it on a USB keychain, you can put it on your hard drive, you could put it on an MP3 player if you wanted to hide it somewhere, as long as, of course, it had, you know, USB access and a little disk. I bet people could probably put it on their iPod. I'm not exactly sure how that works. Anyways, you can run Torpark from any rewritable media. What that means is Tor Park has to be able to write back so it can write down the directory information that it needs in order to connect to the Tor network to build circuits to keep you anonymous. That prevents it from being able to run on a CD-ROM, unfortunately. Tor Park is currently built for Windows 32-bit operating system, so it should run on everything from Windows 95, 98, Windows 2000, and XP. We've had some compatibility issues that have been noted, but we can't seem to come up with anything specific for what the problems are. Sometimes it'll, most of the time it'll work, sometimes it won't. But oftentimes the problem will be that the Tor network is bogged down, like recently with all these Tor Park downloads, people are getting slightly slower connections or having a harder time connecting. Well, you have 200,000 people around the world that have just jumped onto the Tor network. So it may be a little slower for the time being. Tor Park was originally a project founded out of the desire to have Tor more easily used. I remember reading about Tor, and somebody had mentioned, Matt Thorne had mentioned to me that wouldn't it be great if we could integrate it all with the browser? And I thought about that for a while, and I checked out Firefox to see if it was possible. And at the time, it wasn't. But shortly thereafter, just a few months later, Mozilla started to put out a new codenamed version of Firefox called Deer Park. And in Deer Park, they had this thing called a built-in automatic SOX proxy. And that's exactly what we needed to make Tor run through a browser. So the very first version that I did, which I put together in a couple hours, and it certainly wasn't very pretty by any means, was able to take the Deer Park program and mix it with the Tor. So, in honor of those original programs, it became Tor Park.
Do you envision the federal government coming out against this in the United States? Do you envision them someday perhaps restricting its use, given an initial House Judiciary Committee approval of the EMSA?
Well, that is a very interesting subject. A lot of the tactics used today to move politics around are based on terror and fear and whatnot, and you know, just seeing how much they can scare people up and herd them around into what laws they like. Well, in order to attack Tor Park, you would have to assail freedom of speech and the uncodified right to privacy, and you would also probably have to attack encryption itself. We're not doing anything wrong or anything illegal or anything even borderline of that, but in order to get there, you would have to leverage those away. And that's what we've done with creating Tor Park. We've taken freedom of speech and the ability to encrypt information, and we've leveraged that to reverse these effects that they're trying to use technology against us with.
And your final thoughts on the release of the program?
Tor Park is a free, clean, and open source portable software that's developed and maintained by me. And I spend every weekend working on Tor Park trying to make it better. But the reason I spend so much time on it, and I'm not asking any money for it, is because those who need this privacy and ability to express themselves the most are the ones who can least afford it. And a lot of people wonder, how can I help out? They say, I live in a free country. I have the ability to help. Can I do anything? Well, of course, you can always help out the EFF or the Tor Project or any of those things. But what would help the most and what would absolutely cost the least is if you could set up a Tor server yourself. And there's articles written on how to do this. In fact, I wrote one. And it's so easy to do. You just donate a little bit of your bandwidth, and every little bit that you can spare is helping somebody else out. And you can talk to your friends and your network administrator and your workplace and your school, you know, your university, anybody. Tell them they should consider running a Tor server. Because keep in mind, they may not have come after you this time. They may have come after whatever they call, you know, the terrorist. But it could be you next time. For whatever reason, you may not have done anything wrong at all, but as it's been shown, extraordinary rendition can leave you in Guantanamo Bay with no recourse, and 5 years later, that's only when people start hearing about whatever happened to you.
Steve Toplitz, writer and designer of the new software Tor Park and a member of Hacktivismo, thanks for being on the podcast.
My pleasure.
In Los Angeles, I'm Matt Kelly for PodTech News.